Chapter 12. I'm not going to give you the title of my sermon till the end. You might figure it out on the way through, but that's okay. It'll be our secret, right? All right, before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, I know you've challenged my heart through this message, and Lord, you've pointed out some things to me as well, and we just pray, Lord, that as your word goes forth, that you'd, Lord, speak to hearts, because, Lord, we need you. And we need you to lead, guide, and direct. And we need you, Lord, because the whole world needs you. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful that long ago you decided I'd get saved. And I'm thankful that I did. And we just pray, Lord, tonight, challenge our hearts through your word. The Holy Spirit work in our midst, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race till we get tired, till we don't want to, till someone offends me, till I just don't want to do it anymore. No, it's let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God has set before us a race, and he wants us to run it to the end. My niece was in the Boston Marathon one time. Happened to be when the bombs went off. She got in safely before that happened. But what do we know about the Boston Marathon? It's a race. How many winners are there? One, that's right. And with most races, there are one winners. One winner. There is one winner. Excuse the English, Mrs. Fountain. I have to go back to school now. So we know there's one winner. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. Tells us, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. There is a prize, but only one receives it. But we have a race to run, and the prize for us is the end. Just to get to the end. To do what the Lord wants us to do. To run with patience the race that is set before us. Ecclesiastes 9, 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 and 11. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grace, in the grave, sorry, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. When I read this one, it says the race is not to the swift, I thought, Lord, you must mean me. I'm not that swift. That must be in there for me. But anyhow, all kidding aside, the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. What do we know about a race? There's a finish line. And our duty is to run till we get to the end. I wanted a better word, but I think duty's good. And that's our duty. And I know I've been challenged in this message myself. Now I'm going to waver a little bit from it for a minute. And I apologize to all you ladies because you probably won't appreciate what I'm going to say here. But it's not an offense to you. I'm going to talk about football. Now I know a lot of you don't know a lot about football, but and we're going to just take NFL football because it's the simplest, and if any of the ladies watched, probably was NFL. We have the football field, and we have 100 yards from goal to goal, and 10 yards behind the goal on either end is the end zone. The goal of football is the team kicks, we receive, you start at that point where the ball or the ball carrier gets tackled, and you have four chances in American football to get a first down. So you get four tries, throwing or running, to get 10 yards. The 10 yards get your first down, and another chance to go another 10 yards to get another first down, and you can keep going if you're good enough till you get to the goal line. So the idea in football is to score a touchdown, to get to the goal line. So the referee goes like this. He puts his hands up and waves, you got a touchdown. Well, I introduce all that to you because on October 25th, 1963, an NFL football game between the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers took place. Bill Kilmer was the 49ers quarterback, and he was tackled in the backfield, and he fumbled just before he got sacked, and the ball rolled out and was there on the ground. Suddenly, Jim Marshall, a legendary Minnesota defensive end, ran in, and he scooped up the ball, the fumble, and he started towards the end zone. Marshall didn't stop. 66 yards he ran. 65 yards he ran. 60 yards he ran. 50 yards he ran. 40 yards he ran. 30 yards. And of course the crowd's cheering. You can hear, go, go, go. So we thought. 20 yards and the crowd's cheering. 10 yards and the crowd's still cheering. 5 yards. 4 yards. 3 yards, 2 yards. But no hands went up. As he gets in the end zone, he spikes the ball. The ball rolls out of bounds. 2 points for the 49ers. A safety because he ran to the wrong goal. Jim Marshall had quite a history. But we will always remember Jim Marshall for running and scoring a touchdown for the opposing team. Safety. 2 points for the San Francisco 49ers. When he reached the end zone, he was ecstatic. He thought he had reached the goal. But the arms didn't go up. Because Marshall had taken his eyes off the goal. The one that was set before him when he started the play. And unfortunately, he became disorientated and he ran to the wrong end zone. He took his eyes off the goal. Marshall was a 3-time pro team candidate and he was a 2-time pro bowler. Marshall had 270 consecutive games for the Minnesota Vikings. 282 if you count playoffs. He started his career at Ohio State. And believe it or not, he started in the Canadian Football League as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. But then he was traded to the Cleveland Browns and then to the Minnesota Vikings. And what's he remembered for? He ran the wrong way. He took his eyes off the goal. First Corinthians, we don't turn there. I have it here, so just to repeat. 9:2 says, know ye not that they which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And the challenge tonight is, I know to my heart, I hope to yours as well, but have you taken your eyes off the goal? Have you been, I don't know, sidetracked from running the race? Have you in your mind a place where you need to be right now? Have you taken your eyes off the goal? Do you have a loved one that's not saved? Someone that needs a Savior? Have you prayed for them? Have you loved them? Have you witnessed to them? Or have you taken your eyes off the goal? It could be a mother. It could be a father. It could be a son, a daughter, grandparents, grandchildren, in-laws, outlaws, relatives, unsaved friends, family, or co-workers. But have you taken your eye off the goal? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Have you taken your eye off the goal? Is there someone that you need to pray for? Is there someone you need to call? Is there someone you need to talk to? We need a vision because people are dying and going to hell. And Jesus spoke more about hell in the New Testament than he did about heaven. There's a story, I may have told this story before, but there's a story of the three preachers, candidate preachers, went to the church to preach. And from the local Bible college, and the president of the Bible college told them all to preach on hell. So the first preacher went the first Sunday, and he preached on hell, and he preached a good message. But they didn't call him as the pastor. Second Sunday, the other second preacher went, and he preached on hell, and he preached a good message. But the church never called him. The third preacher went the next Sunday, and he preached on hell. And the church called him as pastor. The president of the Bible college called the deacon in charge of getting the new pastor and said to him, I sent you three preachers. You chose the last one. And I told them all to preach on the same thing. I told them all to preach on hell. And the deacon says, yes, that they all did preach on hell. But the first two preached on hell as a place where everybody was going. And the third one preached on hell as a place where nobody should go. Nobody should have to go. So think about it. Do you have loved ones? Ones you care for? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I hope you have a burden for the unsaved. If there's no other message you get tonight, is people are dying and going to hell all around us. And we don't know how much time we have. We're not guaranteed anything as far as how much time we have. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. If you've taken your eyes off the goal line, if you've taken your eyes off the finish line for the race, been sidetracked, I don't know your situation, but let's get on track again. Let's serve the Lord, and let's love people the way Jesus did. Because Jesus never fails. We do, but he never does. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we need a vision to see that that person we deal with at the checkout counter, at the bank, wherever it is, at work, sister, brother, whatever, if they're not saved, let's challenge ourselves to get out there and be more active. We have roughly gone through 6 months this year, and I'm sorry to say, and I'm a little bit ashamed that I've wasted a lot of that time, because I haven't had the vision. I haven't thought about people dying and going to hell that much this year. Retiring and with the deaths in my wife's family, and not that these are excuses, but your mind gets taken off the goal. And you look and you get busy and you lose the vision. So where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's get a vision to see that we have a city here in London. We have neighbors here, over here, that are dying and going to hell. That's why one of the reasons I think it's good that we hand out those door knocker things and whatnot, because people need to know we care, because Jesus cares. So if you're involved in that, you're doing a good thing, keep it up, and we'll see you Saturday. No, just kidding. I'm not sure whether we're doing any Saturday or not. But so again, the challenge is, and the title is, So Run. So run. Let's get running. Let's not stand still any longer, but let's run together. Let's run. Let's witness. Let's give testimony. And let people know what Jesus Christ can do for them. It's a whole lot shorter than I expected to be, but I think it's a good enough challenge. I'm going to leave it there. I'd like for you to just to turn in your red hymn book for a minute. We're going to sing out of there in a minute. Not that I'm going to compare myself with A.V. Henderson, but he was often quoted as being the preacher that only preached 20 minutes. But I think you got the message. I think the Holy Spirit's spoken to you. But if we turn in our red hymn book, I just want to read these four verses and then we'll sing it. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best for me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me? The hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours I spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior. The seed of precious life I might have sown. No longer will I stay in the valley. I'll climb the mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's love. Let's bow for a word of prayer first. Father, we just ask your word speak. It was a simple message, straight, not long. But Lord, we needed to be reminded that we need a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Lord, help us to see the city of London and the surrounding area here and where we live, that there's men and women and boys and girls that need Jesus Christ. Help challenge our hearts, Lord, tonight. If there be anyone here who needs to come to the altar, it's open and free. You do what the Lord wants you to do, and that's all we can say. Lord, we ask that you bless again in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing 368. Let's all stand.